In June 1863, after more than 2 years of bloody conflict, the Confederate Army of Northern Virginia, Robert E. Lee commanding, slips across the Potomac to begin the invasion of the North. It is an army of 70,000 men. They move slowly behind the Blue Ridge, using the mountains to screen their movements. Their main objective is to draw the Union Army out into the open where it can be destroyed. Late in June, the Union Army of the Potomac, 80,000 men, turns north from Virginia to begin the great pursuit up the narrow roads across Maryland and into Pennsylvania. General Lee knows that a letter has been prepared by the Southern government, a letter which offers peace. It is to be placed on the desk of Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States, the day after Lee has destroyed the Army of the Potomac, somewhere north of Washington.
Howdy, friend. Where are you headed?
General Longstreet. I gotta see the general.
Is that a fact?
I know General Lee has his headquarters up here a little ways. Wherever he is, General Longstreet is nearby. You fellas take me that way. This is urgent.
Well, let me put it to you like this, stranger. You're not in a uniform, and you're coming through my picket line. I'll take you up there, but if nobody back there knows you, well, I guess, unfortunately, you'll have to be hanged.
Sir, General, sir, I'm sorry, excuse me, sir, but Harrison is back.
Harrison?
Yes, sir, the scout, Harrison, sir. I knew you'd want to know that as soon as possible. He's right outside here, sir.
General,
Your servant, General. You didn't expect to see me, did you?
I paid you in gold 3 weeks ago. What do you got?
Oh, General, I don't suppose you got another one of those. That good Southern tobacco.
What do you got?
I got the position of the Yankee Army. Only a few miles down the road. Whole Yankee Army coming this way, 7th Corps.
A few miles?
Yes, 2 brigades of Yankee cavalry down that road about 2-4 hours away. Behind that, there's 7th Corps. 7th Corps, and I put it all on the map. You'd like to see it, about 80,000 men.
All 7th Corps.
You didn't know any of that, General? You didn't know they was on the move, I bet. You wouldn't be spread out so thin, you'd know they was coming.
How you know we're spread out?
Oh, listen, General. I'm good at this business.
Sir, I beg your pardon, but if this man's story is true, why haven't we heard about it? General Stuart's cavalry is out there. He would have reported.
What do you know about Jeb Stuart?
Oh, he's out there all right. He's riding up north somewhere, getting his name in the papers. And he ain't caused anything but a little fuss.
If the whole Federal Army was moving that fast, as close as you say, I have to believe General Stuart...
Well, now, look here. I came within an angry mule's kick of the whole Yankee cavalry. And all the way through a picket line. Hazardous, too. Listen, General, I tell you, I don't know what Jeb Stuart's doing. I don't care. I do my job. Now, there's Yankee cavalry down that road, thick as fleas, and maybe not 2 hours hard ride from this here now spot, and that, by God's the Lord's truth.
Major Sor?
Yes, sir?
Will you get on over to General Lee's headquarters and you notify him about this?
Yes, sir.
Captain Gorey?
Sir?
Get this man a tent. And, Seagar.
Sir.
He says the lead element is here with the 3rd Corps, a 6th right behind, supported by a column of Federal cavalry, 7th Corps altogether. The 1st and 11th are above Taneytown, and there's more cavalry 2 hours east. There may be as many as 100,000 altogether.
You believe the man? This Mr. Harrison?
No choice. Oh, you remember him, sir. The actor from Mississippi.
An actor? We move on the word of an actor?
Can't afford not to.
There would be some word from General Stuart. General Stuart would not leave us blind.
Oh, one other thing. Hooker's been replaced. George Meade's the new commander. Harrison read it in the Yankee papers.
George Meade? Pennsylvania man. Meade would be cautious, I think. Take him some time to get organized. Perhaps we should move more swiftly. There may be an opportunity here.
Yes, sir.
Well... no reason to delay. I think we should concentrate here. All the roads converge just east of this gap, and this junction will be very necessary.
Yes, sir.
I left my spectacles over there. What is the name of this town?
Gettysburg.
Farewell.
Message from Colonel Chamberlain.
Colonel, darling, rise up, me bucko. Oh, I'm sorry, darling, but we got a bit of a problem here, Colonel. Would you like to hear about it? Would you wake up, sir? We got a whole company coming, sir. This way. I'll give you time to wake up, but we've got quite a problem. Altogether, 120 men are coming. We're to be having them as guests.
What?
Yeah, should be here any minute.
Who?
Mutineers. Mutineers, Colonel, me lad. 120 men from the old 2nd Maine, which has been disbanded.
120 mutineers.
Yes, sir. You see, what happened was that the enlistment papers on the old 2nd Maine ran out, so they were sent home, all except these 120 fellas who'd foolishly signed three-year papers. 3 years, that is. So these poor fellas, they got one more year to serve. Only, you see, they thought they were signing to fight only with the 2nd Maine, and the 2nd Maine only. So they quit. They resigned, you see. 120 men. Colonel, are you all right?
No.
Well, the point is, sir, these Maine fellas, they won't fight no more. And nobody can send them home, and nobody knows what to do with them. Till they thought of us, being as we are the only other Maine regiment in the 5th Corps. So they've been assigned to us. Yes, sir. I have a message here from the new commanding general. George Meade, sir. That's right. Our very own general of our very own corps has been promoted to command of the whole army. The latest, if you keep track of them as they go by. Well, the message says they'll be arriving this morning and they're to join us. Oh, and if they refuse to follow orders, please feel free to shoot them.
To shoot them?
Yes, sir.
Well, these are the Maine men. You are hereby authorized to shoot any man who refuses to do his duty. Master, are these all Maine men?
Yes, sir. And fine big fellas they are, too.
Mutiny. I thought that was a word for the Navy.
We'll move at sunrise. It's a good time of day. I always do enjoy this time just before the dawn. When all this is over, I shall miss it very much.
Sir?
I didn't mean the fight. Well, all in God's hands now.
Good day, sir.
Good day, John.
General, sir? Gonna wake him up, sir? Gonna get him waked up and get going?
Oh, Moxley. Let the boys sleep a little longer. They're going to need it.
Yes, sir.
Somewhere around 250, sir, counting the officers.
How the heck are we supposed to take care of 120 men?
Colonel, it's going to be a hot day today. Seeing as you've already been down with the heat, please, will you ride the horse, Colonel, that the good Lord provided, instead of marching around in the hot, damn, dirty dust?
Well, you walked.
Colonel, darling, I've been in the infantry since you was in books. It's the first few thousand miles. After that, a man gets limber with his feet.
Morning, Lawrence. How are you? You're looking kind of peaky.
Darn it, Tom, don't call me Lawrence. It doesn't make sense. Hold a gun on a man to get in a fight.
Detail! About face! Attention, detail!
You heard the captain. Stand at attention.
Guards, get these men back on their feet. I'm looking for commanding officer 20th Maine.
You found him.
That's him, all right.
You Chamberlain?
Colonel Chamberlain to you.
Captain Brewer, sir. 118th Pennsylvania. If you're the commanding officer, sir, then I present you with these prisoners here. And you're welcome to them. Lord knows. I had to use the bayonet to keep them moving. You have to sign for them.
Sign it, Lieutenant. You are relieved, Captain.
You're authorized to use whatever force necessary, Colonel. You want to shoot him? You go right ahead. Won't nobody say nothing.
I said you are relieved, Captain. You men can leave now. We won't be needing any guards. My name is Chamberlain. I'm the colonel of the 20th Maine. What did you fellas eat last? When did you have something to eat?
They're trying to break us by not feeding us. We ain't broke yet.
They just told me you were coming a little while ago. So, I'll get the cook going. Meat may be a little raw, but there's not much time to cook. We've got quite a ways to go today. You'll be coming with us, so eat hearty. We'll set you up over in those trees there. Sergeant Tosha, see to it.
Yes, sir.
Well, you boys go eat, and then I'll come over and hear what you have to say.
Colonel! Colonel, we got grievances. The men elected me to talk for them.
Yes, all right. You come along with me. Rest you boys go eat, so we're going to get moving in a little bit.
On your feet.
Gosh, Lawrence.
Smile. Don't call me Lawrence. Are they moving?
Yes, sir.
Forward.
What's your name?
I don't feel too kindly, Colonel.
Yes, well, I'm usually not this informal. I just took command of this regiment a few days ago, so somebody ought to welcome you to my our outfit. They tell me that they're holding you fellas because you signed 3-year papers. I'm sorry. Would you like some coffee? You sure? Go ahead. Why don't you sit down, Mr.
Buckland. Joseph Buckland. Mm-hmm. Listen, Colonel. I've been in 11 different engagements. How many you been in?
Not that many.
It ain't the papers. I've done my share. We all have. Damn good men. Should not to be used this way. Look you here.
Went clean through.
Colonel, we got a courier coming.
Listen, Colonel. I'm tired. You know what I mean? I'm tired. I've had all this army and all these officers, this damn hooker and this damn idiot Meade, all of them. The whole bloody, lousy, rotten mess of sick-brained, pot-bellied scared heads that ain't fit to lead a Johnny detail. They ain't fit to pour pee out of a boot with instructions written under the heel. I'm tired. We are good men, and we had our own good flag, and these damn idiots use us like we were cows or dogs or worse. We ain't gonna win this war. We can't win nohow with these lame-brained bastards from West Point. These damn gentlemen, these officers.
The courier, sir.
Don't go away.
Colonel Chamberlain, sir. Colonel Vincent wishes to inform you that the 5th Corps is moving out at once. And you, sir, with the 20th Maine Regiment, are instructed to take the lead. The 20th Maine has been assigned the first position in line. You will send out advance guards and flankers, sir.
Flankers?
Yes, flankers.
Right. Yes, my compliments to the colonel. Captain Clark, you heard him. Get the regiment up, sound the assembly, strike the tents.
You
Better get yourself something to eat. Looks like you could use it. All right? Tell your men I'm coming.
The boys from the second man are being fed, Lawrence.
Yep. Don't call me Lawrence.
Donnie Lawrence, I'm your brother.
Well, just be careful about the name business in front of the men, all right? Just because you're my brother, it looks like favoritism.
God almighty, General Meade's got his own son as his aide-de-camp.
Well, that's different. Generals can do anything. So I think quite so much like God on earth as a general on a battlefield, so...
Well, what are you going to do with him, huh, sir? Colonel, sir. You can't shoot him. You never go back to Maine, you do that.
I know that. I know that. I wonder if they do.
Colonel, sir, You know who the second man that is? Dan Burns from Orono. I know his daddy, the preacher. Best darn cusser I've ever heard. Mm. Knows more fine swear words than any man in Maine.
Gather round.
I've been talking with Private Buckland. He's told me about your problem. There's nothing I can do today. We're moving out in a few minutes. We'll be moving all day. I've been ordered to take you men with me. I'm told that... that if you don't come, I can shoot you.
Well, you know I won't do that. Maybe somebody else will, but I won't. So, that's that. Here's the situation. The whole Reb Army is up that road a ways waiting for us, so this is no time for an argument like this. I tell you, we could surely use you fellas. We're now well below half strength. Whether you fight or not, that's up to you. Whether you come along you're coming. You know who we are, what we're doing here, but if you're going to fight alongside us, there's a few things I want you to know. This regiment was formed last summer in Maine. There were 1,000 of us then. There are less than 300 of us now. All of us volunteered to fight for the Union, just as you did. Some came mainly because we were bored at home. Thought this looked like it might be fun. Some came because we were ashamed not to. Many of us came because it was the right thing to do. And all of us have seen men die. This is a different kind of army. If you look back through history, you will see men fighting for pay, for women, for some other kind of loot. They fight for land, power. Because a king leads them, or just because they like killing. But we are here for something new. This has not happened much in the history of the world. We are an army out to set other men free. America should be free ground. All of it. Not divided by a line between slave state and free. All the way. From here to the Pacific Ocean. No man has to bow. No man born to royalty. Here we judge you by what you do, not by who your father was. Here you can be something. Here is the place to build a home. But it's not the land. There's always more land. It's the idea that we all have value. You and me. What we're fighting for, in the end, fighting for each other.
Sorry, I didn't mean to preach. You go ahead. You talk for a while. If you choose to join us, you want your muskets back, you can have them. Nothing more will be said by anybody anywhere. If you choose not to join us, well, you can come along under guard, and when this is all over, I will do what I can to see you get a fair treatment, but for now, we're moving out. Gentlemen, I think if we lose this fight, we lose the war. So if you choose to join us, I'll be personally very grateful.
Fine morning.
Captain Spear, are we ready?
Sir, that we are.
Well, then let's move out.
20th Maine! Forward!
Forward!
March!
Infantry, all right. At least a whole brigade.
Any sign of cavalry?
Not a lick, sir. That's strange. Infantry moving alone in enemy country blind. Very strange, sir.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
He's headed this way.
Sir?
Please turn. That's the main body.
You think so? I'd have sworn they were headed for Harrisburg.
Troop will be a raiding party. Power bond.
Sir, if you want to fight here, this is such lovely ground. It's the best damn ground I've seen all day.
It is that. We'll move both brigades into town. That'll make a good citizen happy. Let's go down and have a look.
Sir.
Colonel, do you mind?
That officer doesn't ride all day up to sit.
Hey, Locke.
Anyway.
What do you think? God almighty. What do you think?
About what?
About the second Maine boys. What else?
Oh, are any of them going to join us?
Would you believe it? All but six.
What?
I counted by actual vote. 114 of them voted to pick up the rifle.
Well, I'll be.
You did good, brother. You did real good.
Good, good. Let's see to it they march together, all right?
Yes, sir. Glaze has got the hotheads in tow, sir. Fine. There were six of them.
Fine. Get their names. Put them in different companies. I want them spread out. I don't want them bunched together, all right?
Yes, sir.
I'll see about their muskets.
Colonel, sir.
Get your patrols out. Scout this bunch in front of us. Also, scout up north. They'll be coming over that way from Carlisle. I think Lee's turned the whole army headed this way, trying to get around us, get between Meade and Washington. I'm right, there'll be a lot of troops up this road. Come down that northern road, too, so hop to it.
Sir. Come here, girl.
My God, I can't believe they're coming this far north.
Can I have a ride on your pony?
There's Johnny Rebs everywhere! Everywhere!
Sure, I'm glad to see you, fellas.
Your servant, ma'am.
Is it going to be a disturbance in our town?
Nothing the cavalry can't handle.
Never knew you were such a cavalier.
I'm just not as shy and reserved as you, sir. Beg your pardon.
Yeah, I'm about as shy as a regiment at full gallop.
Rebel raiding parties have been here for days. Peeled the land of every cow, chicken, and hog. Can't chew a plow horse with what they didn't take.
Bobby Lee's up this road a piece. He's got the whole army of Northern Virginia with him. I recommend you good folks get back to your homes and stay indoors.
Yeah, for how long?
Till the shooting stops. Something about mayors, politicians, and dignitaries that troubles me, Devin. Too fat to talk too much. They never think twice about asking a man to die for them. What's gonna happen here in the morning?
Sir.
Old damn rebel army's gonna be here. They'll move through this town, occupy these hills on the other side, and our people get here, Lee will have the high ground. They'll be the devil to pay. The high ground. Meade will come in slowly, cautiously, new to command. They'll be on his back from Washington. Wires hot with messages. Attack! So he will set up a ring around these hills. Then when Lee's army is all nicely entrenched behind fat rocks on the high ground, Meade will finally attack if he can coordinate the army. Straight up the hillside, out in the open, in that gorgeous field of fire. And we will charge valiantly and be butchered valiantly. Afterwards, men in tall hats and gold watch fobs will thump their chests and say what a brave charge it was. Devin, I led a soldier's life. I've never seen anything as brutally clear as this. It's as if I can actually see the blue troops in one long, bloody moment. Going up the long slope to the stony top. It were already done. Already a memory. Odd. Set. Stony quality to it. As if tomorrow has already happened and there's nothing you can do about it. Well, you sometimes feel before an ill-considered attack, knowing it'll fail. But you cannot stop it. Must even take part. Help it fail.
Sir.
We have 2,500 men. They'll be coming in force. Could be 20,000 coming down that road in the morning. If we hold this ridge for a couple hours, we can keep them away. We can block that road till the main body gets here. We can deprive the enemy of the high ground.
Well, the boys are ready for a brawl. No doubt of that.
We'll force the Reb to deploy. It's a narrow road they'll be coming down. If we stack them up, it'll take them a while to get on track to get into position. Is Taylor's battery up yet?
Sir, his six guns are deploying forward now.
How far back is Reynolds with the main force?
About 10 miles, sir. Not much more.
Sir, you're right. My scouts report the Rev Army's coming this way, and that's for sure. They're all concentrating in this direction.
For Reynolds and the infantry to arrive. We hang on to the high ground and we have a good chance to win this fight that's coming. Understood?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Post the cannon along this road, Chambersburg Pike. The Reds will hit us at dawn, but I think we can hold them at least 2 hours.
Hell, General, we can hold them all the damn live long day.
He's right, sir.
Yes, sir.
They're a fair gap you held against Longstreet. You held for 6 hours.
And they never came. We held for nothing.
Rebs will hit us just about first light. Keep a clear eye. Have the pickets give us a good warning. All right, gentlemen. Let's get posted.
Troops are deployed on good ground west of Gettysburg on the Chambersburg Pike. I've sent reconnaissance parties in every direction from which the enemy might be approaching. I'm satisfied that A.P. Hill's corps is massed just west of here, back of Cashtown. The enemy pickets are within 4 miles of my position. Rumor says Ewell is coming over the mountains from Carlisle. If true, 2 Confederate corps will converge upon us in the morning, one from the west and one from the north. Do you want me to hold this position if attacked? Confirmation requested. J.N.O. Buford.
Bow down thy heaven, O Lord, and come down, touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my fingers to fight and my hands to war. Amen.
Good morning, Lucy. Tabla, good morning to you, sir.
Morning, sir.
Good morning, Major Taylor.
How are you this morning, sir? How are you feeling, sir?
Is there any word from General Stuart?
No, sir. I would have wakened you, sir, if there was no report at all, sir.
If I don't hear from General Stuart by this evening, I want to send word out to him.
Yes, sir. I have a message from General Hill, sir.
Yes?
General Hill wishes to inform you that he is going to Gettysburg this morning with his lead division, General Heath.
For what purpose?
He advises me that there is a supply of shoes in the town, and he intends to requisition some foot gear.
General Hill knows I want no fight till this army is concentrated.
General Hill expects no opposition except for some local militia with shotguns and such.
Very well.
Will the general have some breakfast?
No, thank you.
We have flapjacks in small mountains, fresh butter, bacon, wagons of ham, apple butter, ripe cherries. Really ought to pitch in, sir. Courtesy of our host, the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Has there been any trouble from the local population?
Oh, no, sir. No trouble with them. The men are behaving very well. But there are some local women who claim we have taken all their food. And though they don't complain of our having paid for it in the good dear coin of mighty Virginia, well, sir, they do object to starving.
We must be charitable to these people, Major. We have enough enemies.
Yes, sir. The men have their strict orders. But I must admit, those orders would be easier to follow had the Yankees showed charity when they were in Virginia.
Major, this army will conduct itself properly and with respect to all civilian population at all times. And you will personally report to me any infractions, no matter how minor or trivial they may appear.
Yes, sir.
Very well.
Good morning, sir.
General Longstreet, good morning.
Federal forces are concentrating.
Yes, and I confirmed some of your man Harrison's information. Their new commander is definitely George Meade.
I have reports of Union cavalry in Gettysburg.
Cavalry?
Mm-hmm.
General Hill reports only militia.
He did.
Mm. Well,
it's cavalry. And when there's cavalry, the infantry will be close behind. Meade's closing fast. It could be he's thinking of swinging around behind us.
Behind, in front, the direction does not matter. We will fight him wherever he is.
Probably got old Abe Lincoln on his back trying to throw us out of Pennsylvania.
We may have an opportunity here.
I agree. Our objective was to get their army out of Virginia into the open. Now, they are in the open.
General Meade has been forcing the march, and the weather has been unusually hot. He will probably arrive here worn out and weary, piece by piece. If we concentrate, we can hit him as he comes up. And if we can take out a few of his corps, we can even the odds. But we must strike hard, and we must strike quickly. What artillery is that, Major?
Don't know, sir. General Heath is in front.
My instructions were clear?
Yes, sir. To all commanders, avoid contact with the enemy until the army is all up and concentrated.
And General Heath?
He has instructions not to force a major action, I told him myself this morning.
We should move closer to the front and send for General Heath. I must know what is going on.
Yes, sir.
General, in the fight that is coming, I want you to stay back from the main line. This army has already lost far too many of its veteran commanders, and you, sir, have a very bad habit of moving too far forward.
Can't lead from behind.
May I say it plainly, sir? I cannot afford to lose you. Now, General, let's look to this day. You may bring up your corps. Major Taylor, have Traveler saddled up. I'm going to have a look around for myself.
Yes, sir.
Cut. Cut.
is all. I got the best damn ground around there hitting me with one brigade. Lovely. Lovely.
Really got a twist on them. They're arrogant people, you know? They came right at us. Listen, we took some prisoners. They're from Heath's division of Hill's Corps. That's what I got in front of me. It's a new division. I figure 8,000 men, more or less. All within sound of this. Just back up that road between here and Cashtown. Just a little ways up the road.
Yeah, it'll take them a while to get online.
Yes, sir, but Hill's whole corps is behind, maybe 25,000. Longstreet behind that. Ewell over there to the north.
I know, Colonel, I know.
The thing is this, sir. When John Reynolds gets here, he won't have the whole army with him, only part of it. And the point is, as I see it, the Rebel will be here this afternoon with everything they've got. I just thought I'd mention it. Now, what do you want me to do here, sir?
Well, Heath will be back in a bit. If he's got any brains at all, and he's not stupid. You've got to know by now he's got at least a brigade in front of him. I don't think he'll wait to get his whole division in line. That'd take half the morning.
Sir, he don't need his whole division.
Right. Does Devin report any activity on his front over the right?
No, sir, not a lick.
All right. I'll have Devin leave a cover in the north and pull the rest of his boys out and have them move in alongside you, lengthening your line. When Heath gets back, he'll run into two brigades instead of one. That ought to hold him until Reynolds gets here.
Right, sir. Damn sure glad the rain's gone. Don't want anything to slow up Reynolds.
Take care of yourself, Colonel.
Don't worry about me, sir. I'm the soul of caution.
compliments. No problem on the right. They came up close. We put in a reserve. We didn't put it all in, sir. Wishes to know if you have any further orders.
Tell Devin all reserve forward now.
Devil to pay.
Can you hold?
I reckon I can.
Captain, you ride as fast as you can to General Meade. Tell him the enemy is advancing in strong force. I'm afraid they'll get to the heights beyond the town before we will. We'll fight them here, inch by inch, through the town if necessary.
Yes, sir.
Lieutenant, go into town. Tell the people to stay in off of the streets, especially children. Liable to be a fair-sized dispute here today. Sure. Joe, how can you see anything with those things on?
See you.
First Corps is coming up. The 11th is right behind it. Good job, John.
Thank you. I don't think they knew until now what they're up against. Now that you're here, they still don't know.
Well, they'll be coming back. Very good. People come in here thinking he's up against two tired cavalry brigades. And instead, they'll be hitting two corps of fresh Union infantry.
Yes, sir. Poor Harry.
You can pull your boys out as soon as we set up. Put them out on my flanks. Good cavalry on both flanks.
Yes, sir. Well, John, most of my life I've been leery about the appearance of high command. John, I sure am glad to see you.
Gentlemen, place the troops. Now, John, he probably has about 10,000 men coming down that road, wouldn't you say?
There'll be a lot more behind him.
Well, we've got about 20,000 we can put in the field. We're in very good shape, I think.
For a while, sir.
Sending messages to all my commanders to come at this pace with all possible speed. Lovely ground.
I hope so, sir.
Now let's go surprise Harry Heath.
General Heath.
Sir, made a report.
Yes.
Very strange, sir. The situation is very confused.
What's happened?
Well, sir, I moved in this morning as director. I thought it was only a few militia, but it was dismounted cavalry, sir. Well, there weren't all that many, and the boys wouldn't hold back.
I thought we shouldn't ought to be stopped by a few dismounted cavalry, but they made a good fight. They really put up a scrap, sir.
Go on, Jim.
Well, sir, they wouldn't leave. My boys got the dander up. We deployed the whole division and went after them. We just about had them running, then all of a sudden they got up infantry support. We got pushed back. Then we reformed and tried again. We couldn't just leave it to them, sir. But now there's more Yankee infantry coming up. I don't know how many, but I don't know what else we could have done. It started out as a minor scrap with a few militia. The next thing I know, I'm tangled with half the Union Army.
Things will get out of control, Mr. Heath. That is why we have orders. Is it possible you could have misunderstood them?
No, sir.
Can you identify those people?
The infantry is the first corps, the Black Hats. There's another corps coming up we still haven't identified.
I must have all possible information on the enemy's threat. Major Taylor.
Sir.
I want you to ride forward yourself to the highest position and observe, and do be careful.
Yes, sir.
Yeah!
Sir, shall I attack?
No, sir. We are not yet ready for a full engagement. General Longstreet is not up with his corps.
Sir, the enemy is disorganized. If we're throwing all our forces down on the field, we will have the advantage.
Is that our artillery?
Yes, sir.
I cannot imagine what has happened to General Stuart. I have heard nothing. Do you understand me, sir?
Yes, sir.
I have no idea what lies in front of me. It may be the entire Federal Army.
Force him to go online. See Colonel Devon. Tell him to get up that way as quick as he can. We'll get Gamble's boys back in the saddle and be there shortly.
Within the hour. Sir. Yeah.
General Early may be attacked by half the Federal Army within the hour. Is that Pender's artillery?
Yes, sir. He's up now, sir. Four batteries in position with two more in reserve. Sir, with General Rhodes attacking up there and Pender and I, we have three divisions, sir. We can sweep them.
Hey, General, sir, I saw only two Federal Corps, 1st and 11th, and General, I saw Early's lead columns coming down north of Rhodes' lines. He'll be engaged any minute, sir.
So we've got 20,000 infantry coming down almost behind the Union lines.
It's perfect, sir. God's will.
General, it would appear the fight is already underway. General Heath, you may attack, sir. My orders to all commanders, attack.
Lieutenant's dead.
One of the things you get to know about this here brigade is we got our own special bugle call. Ever hear tell Dan Butterfield?
With General Butterfield? What was the hooker? That one?
That's right. That's the same fella. See, he used to be our brigade commander.
Yeah, he was a pistol. No man like him for having a good time.
Well, I don't know about that. But I know he used to like to write bugle calls. See, the problem with this army is we got too many calls. We got a call for artillery, infantry. Get up and eat, retreat. Anyway, old Butterfield, he wrote a special call for this here brigade. Say there's an order for this brigade, you and me. Some damn fool gonna be blowing his bugle. We're gonna think that order's for us when it wasn't. We go ahead and follow that order anyway. The next thing you know, we're gonna take a look around. We're gonna be in a world of hurt.
Yeah, that happened to me once. Or us, that is. Half the regiment charged and the other half retreated. You had your choice.
See, this here brigade got a special call. You hear that call, you know the next one's for you. It goes like this. Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. You see, he recalls that damn Butterfield. Dan, Butterfield, Butterfield, Butterfield.
In the middle of a fight, I'm supposed to remember that?
You can remember that. That's easy to remember. Dan, Butterfield, Butterfield, Butterfield. Oh, Butterfield, he wrote a lot of bugle calls. You ever hear Butterfield's lullaby?
Butterfield's what?
Ta-ta-ta.
Colonel, sir. Begging the colonel's pardon. But would the colonel please do us all a favor and get back on the damn horse? I tell you, sir, it's not easy handling these new recruits when the officers act like they ain't got any sense. Sir.
Lance, sir. We got over 20 miles today. We got over 100 miles in 5 days here.
There's something going on.
Colonel Vincent, sir.
Professor Chamberlain. A far cry from Bowdoin College, wouldn't you say?
No farther than Harvard Yard.
Indeed. Well, with luck, we'll both see our alma maters again. In the meantime, Colonel, we'll move your boys along as best you can. The two corps have engaged at Gettysburg. So we'll keep going through dark and on until we get there.
Yes, sir.
Godspeed.
With me.
Very well, Lieutenant.
Sir, General Early says the enemy's caved in on the left flank and are heading back through Gettysburg. They're all running.
Very well. Thank you, Corporal. Henry?
Sir.
I want you to find General Hill's chief of artillery.
Yes, sir.
Tell him I want fire placed on that hill, as much fire as possible.
Yes, sir.
Very well. Major Taylor?
Yes, sir.
I want you to deliver this message in person. Find General Ewell. Tell him the federal troops are withdrawn in confusion. It is only necessary to push those people in order to gain possession of those heights. Tell him to take that hill, if practicable, the one beyond the town. Do you understand what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Farewell.
General, I want you to see this.
General Lee, it's just like Sycamore and Manassas all over again.
It wouldn't work out any better if we planned it. The only thing I want done now, if we can take that hill, is have it occupied by nightfall.
Sir, the Federal Army has fallen back through Gettysburg. They are reforming on the ridges outside of town.
Very well.
This is almost perfect. Now we got them where we want them. Let's move south and east down the road, get between them and Lincoln, find some good high ground, and then they'll have to hit us. They'll have to. Then we have them, General. Then we have them.
You mean disengage?
Well, sir, I've always been under the impression that it was our strategy to conduct a defensive campaign wherever possible in order to keep the army intact.
Well, granted, but the situation has changed now.
In what way?
We've already pushed them back. They're on the run, vacating the town. How can we move off to the south and the east in the face of the enemy?
Major Marshall.
Yes,
sir. I ordered firing on that hill, but there are no cannon firing. Kind of send over and find out why.
Yes, I'll see to it, sir.
Thank you. What are you thinking, General?
Maybe we should not have fought here.
I know that, but we have prevailed. The men have prevailed.
Yes, sir, they have always done that. But in the morning, we may be outnumbered, and they'll be entrenched on the high ground.
General, you know as well as I, we have never concerned ourselves with being outnumbered.
That is true, sir. You are right. But if we move south to Washington, they have to pursue us, and then we can fight on ground of our choosing.
But the enemy is here. We did not want the fight, but the fight is here. How can I ask this army to retreat in the face of what they have done this day?
Not retreat, sir. Redeploy.
Our guns will move them off that hill, or you will push them off. But if Meade is there tomorrow, I cannot move this army away. No, sir, I will attack him.
General, if Meade is up there tomorrow, it is because he wants us to attack him. We push back 2 corps, but there are 5 more coming. General, I will bring out my boys as soon as I can.
Very well. General?
Sir.
Your man Harrison, the actor, was quite correct. Had it not been for his report, this entire army might have been destroyed in detail. It might have been that the whole federal force would have been here waiting when we turned around. I'm deeply grateful to you, sir.
Hello, man. What outfit you with?
Archer's Brigade, Heath Division.
Where you from?
Tennessee. How about you?
Maine. I never been to Tennessee.
Reckon I never been to Maine, neither.
I don't mean no disrespect, you fighting man. Sometimes I can't help but figure, why are you fighting this war?
Why are you fighting it?
Want to free the slaves, of course. Preserve the Union.
I don't know about some other folk, but I ain't fighting for no darkies one way or the other. I'm fighting for my rats. Obviously, that's what we're fighting for.
For your what?
For our rats. Why is it you folks just can't live the way you want to live? And let us live the way we do? Live and let live, I heard some folks say. Be might less fuss and bother if more folks took it to heart.
Where'd you get captured?
Railroad cut just west of Gettysburg town. What a pretty sight. Mean a good boy lost a young and promising life. Some were blue, some were gray. Seen enough of this war?
I guess I have.
I guess I have too. It looks like I'm gonna be sitting out the rest of it.
Well, I appreciate you talking to me.
See you in hell, Billy Yank.
See you in hell, Johnny Red.
found me a John Henry, sir.
A John who?
A John Henry, sir. A runaway. I heard him a-groaning.
Is he wounded?
Don't know for sure.
The man's exhausted.
We'll get him something he needs. Surgeon's on the way.
Did you get his name?
He said something I couldn't understand. Hell, Colonel, I can't understand anyone south of Mason-Dixon, Rebs or Darkies.
All right, man, as you were. Surgeon, see to him.
We used to have visitors from the South before the war. It was always very polite, academic, you understand. Stayed off the question of slavery out of courtesy. Towards the end, there was no getting away from it. And yet I never could understand. I don't now. I don't know why. I mean, they fight so well.
Tell me something, Buster. What do you think of Negroes?
Well, if you mean the race, I don't really know. This is not a thing to be ashamed of. The thing is, you cannot judge a race. Any man who judges by the group is a peewit. You take men one at a time.
See, to me, there never was any difference.
None at all?
No, none at all. Of course, I haven't known that many freed men, but those I knew in Bangor, Portland. If you look in the eye, there was a man. It was a divine spark, as my mother used to call it. That's all there is to it. Races are men. What a piece of work is man. How infinite in faculties, in form and moving. How express and admirable. In action, how like an angel.
Well, if he's an angel, all right then. But he damn well must be a killer angel. Colonel, darling, you're a lovely man. I see a vast, great difference between us, yet I admire you, lad. You're an idealist. Praise be. The truth is, Colonel, there is no divine spark. There's many a man alive, no more of value than a dead dog, believe me. And you've seen them hang each other the way I have back in the old country. Equality. What I'm fighting for is the right to prove I'm a better man than many of them. Where have you seen this divine spark in operation, Colonel? Where have you noted this magnificent? No two things on earth that equal have an equal chance. Not a leaf, not a tree. There's many a man worse than me, and some better. But I don't think race or country matters a damn. What matters, Colonel, is justice. Which is why I'm here. I'll be treated as I deserve, not as my father deserved. I'm Kilrain, and I damn all gentlemen. There's only one aristocracy, and that is right here. That's why we've got to win this war.
blew my bullet. All Virginia has arrived.
Hey, George.
General.
Good Lord, George, what is that smell?
That's meat. Ain't it lovely?
Oh,
you got it off a dead Frenchman.
Hey, Lou.
I did not either get it off a dead Frenchman. I bought it in the store in Richmond with Sally. It did have a French name, now that I think on it, but Miss Corbell likes it.
How are you, General?
Good, Jim, good. How are you?
Real good.
Good. Dick, how's it going?
Fine, General. Just fine.
Good. Oh, listen, I am sorry to assign you to old Smelly George here, but I hear tell you have a strong stomach.
General, I want you to know how much I appreciate this opportunity to be back in action again, sir.
Let it go, Dick. Let it go. I consider it a damn fine piece of luck to have a man of your caliber attached to this command. I do.
General, sir, just exactly what do we have here?
Oh, excuse me. Gentlemen, Colonel Fremantle?
Sir?
Allow me to introduce Major General George Pickett. General Pickett, Lieutenant Colonel Arthur Fremantle of Her Majesty's Venerable and Elite Coldstream Guards, Britain's military attaché to the Confederacy, and, you might say, the eyes and ears of Queen Victoria?
Oh, hardly, sir. Merely an observer. And your humble guest.
Sir, the fame of your regiment has preceded you.
General Pickett here is our ranking strategist, 1st Corps Army, Northern Virginia. We refer all our deeper questions to him.
They do. They do indeed.
His record at West Point is still the talk of both armies.
Well, General, you know I consider it unbecoming to a soldier all this book learning.
Book learning ain't for gentlemen, right, George?
Nor that either.
Graduated last in his class. Dead last. Quite a feat when you consider his classmates.
The Yankees got all the smart ones, huh? And look where it's got them, huh? Colonel, you allow me to present my commanders. Each one of these chaps, as you might say, commands a brigade of mine. Yeah, this fella here, this is Low Armistead. Low. That's short for Lothario, the lover. Number two here is Richard Brooke Garnett. Old Dick, you'll pardon his limp. He got kicked by his horse the other day. Oh, now that fella there. Well, that's Jim Kemper. You note the shifty eye, the hand in the pocket. This one's not even a West Pointer, so you want to watch him. He's a politician from Virginia. Jimmy's only here for the vote.
Speak of the House of Virginia, Colonel. Matter of fact, Colonel, I'd like to talk to you about some political matters,
I might.
Now, you know the Queen, don't you? What I need to know and what I got to tell my folks back at home is, when are you people going to do something about that damn Yankee blockade out there on the water? Can you tell me something about that?
Time for some branch water. Come on.
General, sir, might I have a few words?
Sure, George. Come on.
I must confess, I'm rather curious about General Longstreet. Up until tonight, he never seemed to fraternize all that much. Almost dour, one would have to suggest.
Well, if I were you, Colonel, I'd count myself among the lucky. Old Pete there, he just happens to be about the best damn poker player in this here man's army.
There's a time you'd have to fight to keep him out of a game. Scarlet fever hit Richmond last winter, right at Christmas time. General lost all three of his children to it. The youngest was 10. Hadn't been quite the same since. The Queen.
To the Queen?
Oh. Her Majesty.
Well, sir, you are looking fine.
Looking lovely yourself, George.
General. No reflection on you, sir, but, well, you know, my division, my Virginia boys, we haven't seen all that much action for a long time. I mean, well, we weren't that engaged at Fredericksburg. We missed Chancellorville altogether, off on some piddling affairs.
Now they took two of my brigades, Corson Jenkins, and sent them off to guard Richmond. I mean, Richmond, of all places. And now, sir, do you know where I've been placed in the line of march? Last, sir. That's where I am, exactly last. I'm bringing up the damn rear. Beg pardon, what's that? You see, my boys are beginning to feel a trifle disgusted if this attitude towards them is fighting men, sir. My boys are...
George.
Sir.
Please.
Oh, I sure don't mean to imply you, sir. No, hell no, sir. No, it's just, we're the bureaucrats. See, I was hoping, sir, that perhaps you could talk to somebody about this arrangement of the troops.
Would you like me to move the whole army to the side so you can go first, sir?
Yeah, now that you mention it.
There is no plot, George. It's just the way things fell out. I mean, hell, look at it this way. If the army has to turn around and fight its way back, well, you'll be first in line.
Yes, I suppose that is true, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Well, you understand, sir. Just that this whole damn war might be over after one more bout, and my Virginia boys will have missed most of it.
I know. How far back are they?
Chambersburg, a hard day's march, sir.
Mm-hmm. I know I can count on you, George, when the time comes. And it will come. It will come.
Sorry to butt in, but they're calling for Giorgio at the poker table. Your fame, sir, has preceded you.
Well, thank you, General. Well, cheerio, fellas.
Don't forget to bring your money. Have you heard any news of old Winfield? Old Winnie boy?
Hancock? Oh, yeah.
Well, how's he doing?
You're gonna find out.
Yeah?
He's got second corps. Damn cloverleaves. Heading this way, probably run into him next few days.
Wish I could see him again. I haven't seen him since before the war. Never thought it would last this long.
You neither, Lope.
I sure would like to talk to old Hancock again. One more time.
Well, why not?
You wouldn't mind?
Hell no.
I mean, really, do you think it would be proper, you know, ethical?
Look, when the time comes, he's close. Just send a messenger over under flag of truce and go on over. Ain't nothing to it.
Last time I saw him was California. Right when the war was beginning, you know. The night before we all left to go off and fight against each other. Old friends off to war.
Hey, Lowe? How's your brigade?
Oh, I never seen troops anywhere so ready for a brawl. I gotta give the old man credit. A lot of credit for that. Who else could have held this army together for so long? Remember what they used to say about him when he first took command? They call him Old Granny. Oh, Lord, what damn fools we were. Now, when he passes, the boys hush. As if they had seen an angel of the Lord. You ever seen anything like that?
No, can't say I have. It's amazing what one honest man can do, huh?
One honest man and a cause.
Well, I don't think on that too much anymore. Guess my only cause is victory. This war comes as a nightmare. You pick your nightmare side, you just put your head down and you win.
Old gloomy Pete.
You see, Colonel, the government derives its power from the consent of the people. Every government. Everywhere. Well, let me make this very plain to you, sir. We do not consent. And we will never consent. And what you've got to do is you've got to go back over there to your parliament and you've got to make it very plain to them. You've got to tell him that what we're fighting for here is a freedom from what we consider to be the rule of a foreign power. I mean, that's all we want. That's what this war is all about.
Jim.
No. Now, we established this country in the first place with very strong state governments just for that very reason. I mean, let me put it to you this way. My home is in Virginia. The government of my home is home. Virginia would not allow itself to be ruled by some king over there in London, and it's not about to let itself be ruled by some president in Washington. Virginia, by God, sir, is going to be run by Virginians.
Oh, my. The cause.
Actually, Jimmy, I got a pair of kings.
And it's all for the Yankees. The damn money-grubbing Yankees. I mean, those damn fools, they don't get the message. Always the darkies. Nothing but the darkies.
You know, Jim, see, now, I think that my idea, my analogy of a gentleman's club is fair enough. It's clear enough. Colonel, think on it now. Now, you suppose that we all joined a club, a gentleman's club, and then, well, after a time, several of the members began to intrude themselves into our private lives, our home life. Began telling us what we could do, what we couldn't do. Why, then, wouldn't any one of us have the right to resign? I mean, just resign. Well, that's what we did. That's what I did, and now these people are telling us that we don't have that right to resign.
Well, I got to hand it to you, George. You certainly do have a talent for trivializing the momentous and complicating the obvious. You ever considered running for Congress?
Oh,
it's a thought.
Brigadier General can't afford that. What does Colonel Fremantle think? Will the British come in on our side?
Oh, hell yeah, they'll come in. They'll come in when we don't need them no more. It's like some damn bank gonna loan you money when you're no longer in debt.
Oh, now look here, Mr. Speaker.
George.
Good night, John.
See you later.
The next few days, I believe we're going to have a hell of a fight here. I want you to do everything necessary to get your boys ready. You can start bringing them up with the first light. I want you all in Gettysburg by tomorrow night.
Yes, sir.
Evening, John. I'm surprised you could find headquarters, what with all that confusion.
Old Indian saying, follow cigar smoke, find the Batman there. Shot up though. Need to get refitted.
Right, I'll see to it. We know what you did this morning. That was one hell of a piece of soldiering.
Thank you, sir.
Heard you were with John Reynolds when he was killed. I'm sending the body up to his folks in Lancaster. They might appreciate a note from you.
I'll send it.
He was a soldier. And a good friend. Three of us, Reynolds, Lo Armistead, and I, came up together. Mexican War. California. Stayed close. Wonder how old Lo's doing, if he's still alive.
I heard he had one of Pickett's brigades under Longstreet.
Just across the ridge, eh? I'd like to see him again, but not here, not like this.
Well, maybe after the war, eh?
Where do you want me in the morning, man?
I want you to hold your position on the extreme left. Get some rest if you can. We may need you in the morning. Jeb Stuart's still on the prowl out there someplace.
Yes, sir.
General Trimble is waiting. Will you see him now?
Very well. Major, I want a scouting party sent out post haste to find General Stuart.
Yes, sir.
Thank
right
you.
Away, sir.
General Trimble.
Sir, I most respectfully request another assignment.
Do please go on, General.
The man is a disgrace. Sir, have you been listening at all to what the aides have been telling you? Ask General Gordon, General Ewell, ask them. We could have taken that hill. God in his wisdom knows we should have taken it. There was no one there, no one there at all, and it commanded the town. General Gordon saw it. I mean, he was with us. Me and Ewell and Gordon, all standing there in the dark like fat great idiots with that bloody damned hill empty. I beg your pardon, General. But that bloody damned hill as bare as his bloody damned head. We all saw it, as God is my witness. We were all there. I said to him, General Ewell, we have got to take that hill. General Jackson would not have stopped like this with the bluebellies on the run and there was plenty of light left on a hill like that empty. Oh, God help us, I don't know why I...
Do please continue, General.
Yes, sir. Sir, I said to him, General Ewell, these words. I said to him, Sir, give me one division and I will take that hill. And he said nothing. He just stood there. He stared at me. I said, General Ewell, give me one brigade and I will take that hill. I was becoming disturbed. And General Ewell put his arms behind him and blinked. So I said, General, give me one regiment, and I will take that hill. And he said nothing. He just stood there. I threw down my sword down on the ground in front of him. We could have done it, sir. A blind man should have seen it. Now they're working up there. You can hear the axes of the federal troops. And so in the morning, many a good boy will die taking that hill. Sir, I must request another assignment.
No, sir. That won't be necessary. You will be of great service, and I do thank you.
General Meade, sir.
Hancock. It's a damn dark out there. I can't see a thing. Well, gentlemen, I hope to God that this is good ground. Is this good ground, General? Is this the place to have an army?
Very good ground, sir.
Fight here, sure enough, in the morning.
General, I had hoped that after moving through the town, you would have taken that hill.
I didn't think it was practical. We were waiting, well, for many reasons. We'd marched all day, and we'd fought. And the orders were to caution against bringing on a general engagement.
There were reports of federal troops in the north, sir. We couldn't bring sufficient artillery to bear on that hill. We decided it was best to wait for another division. Johnson's.
Yes, and Johnson didn't arrive till after dark, just a while ago. He's out there now looking over the terrain.
General Early, do you think you can attack on your flank in the morning?
That hill will be a very strong position once it's fortified, which is what they're doing right now, sir.
I am very much aware of that, General.
Have you looked over the ground yourself, sir?
From a distance only.
I do not think we should attack this point. This will be the strong point. Our troops have marched hard and fought hard today. I suggest we hold here while the rest of the army attacks the other flank.
Do you think an attack on your flank will succeed?
I think it would be very costly.
Very costly, sir.
General Rhodes?
We could attack, of course, General. But the boys have had a good fight, and that will be a strong position. General, I am sorry we didn't take that hill today.
Well, this day is done. You know, General Longstreet proposes that we move our army around to the right and flank the federal army and interpose between Meade and Washington.
And vacate this position to leave this town we've just captured, sir.
This town is of no military significance whatsoever, General.
To move this entire corps in the face of a fortified enemy?
And yet you tell me that you cannot attack in the morning? Gentlemen, if we do not withdraw, and if we do not maneuver in the face of the enemy, then we must attack. Is there any other alternative? General Hill?
No, sir.
Very well. I do thank you, gentlemen.
General, I believe I may have been too slow today. I regret that very much. I was trying to be careful. May have been too careful.
You won a victory this day, General. It was not a large victory. It could have been larger. Perhaps we could have pushed harder. But it was a victory, nonetheless. And your people fought valiantly. This was your first campaign commanding a corps. Now you know it's not always as simple as it sometimes appears. Go and rest now for tomorrow.
Anything else, sir?
No, thank you, Major.
Very well.
is the great battle. Tomorrow or the next day will determine the war. Virginia is here. All the South is here. What will you do tomorrow? In the morning, the enemy will be up in fortified positions on high ground. Longstreet Corps will be coming up, and my boys will be ready to finish the job. If I tell them to withdraw now, no, sir. They've been patient for far too long. With the enemy out there up on the hill, they'll be ready to finish the job. But I don't even know how much is up there. How many men, how many cannon. I don't know the ground on the flanks. I don't know. If I wait in the morning, the early morning, maybe Meade under pressure will attack. That would make General Longstreet very happy. But I don't think Meade will come down. And I don't think I can withdraw. So, God's will, that will be done.
Major Sorrell, you may be.
Thank you, General. Sirs, the federal position was scouted during the last several hours, and we've drawn it up here. Now, this is the situation. The position of the federal army is in the shape of a fish hook.
Now, it starts right here. You see these two hills? This one here and the one with the cemetery. That is where they have concentrated their troops. The hook starts there. Now, it curves round and comes down this low ridge to the south, ending before two round hills of higher elevation. The Federals have no troops on those two hills.
Here you go, Major.
Thank you, sir. We now know that General Hancock is in charge of the Union Center, and there are perhaps 60 to 70,000 men already in position. Perhaps as high as 90.
I spoke with General Ewell of your suggestion that we move around to the right to flank the Federal Army. And he is of the opinion that withdrawing from Gettysburg, giving it back to the enemy, would be very bad for morale, is unnecessary. It might even be dangerous. You disagree? We must attack. Of course, I would prefer not to fight upon this ground, but every moment we delay, the enemy uses to reinforce himself. We cannot support ourselves for long in this country, and we must not allow the Federal Army to move around behind and cut us off from home. No, sir. We must strike him now. We pushed him yesterday, and he will remember. The men are ready, and they are eager. I see no useful alternative. Yes, sir. Very well.
Gentlemen? Sir.
Gentlemen. Good morning, all.
Morning, sir.
Longstreet will attack on the right with the First Corps. Hill will support with Heath in reserve. Ewell's people on the left will demonstrate to keep the enemy from reinforcing against our right flank.
Yes, sir, but I still don't have Pickett. He's at the rear of the column, a full day's march. All I got is Hood and McClaw's.
But I do believe that Hood and McClaw's divisions will be sufficient.
With the general's permission.
General Hood.
Moving in front of those rocky heights, we'll have enfilade fire coming down on us.
Perhaps, but not for long. Your division will be up over this unoccupied hill, the little rocky one. From there, you will threaten the enemy flank. When you are heavily engaged, General Ewell will strike from the left.
Very well, sir.
General?
Let's move out, gentlemen.
General Barksdale?
Yes, sir.
Is Mississippi ready for this day?
Mississippi's ready.
Very well, sir.
Let's go to it, Sam.
Well, if he's right, General Lee, and the war's over by sundown.
We'll see. But I don't like going in without Pickett. It's like going in with one boot off. I'll wait as long as I can.
You have any idea of the force?
Yeah, we counted five corps, including the two that were involved in yesterday's action. That don't mean how many might be hidden behind those hills there. Damn it, with Stewart gone, ain't no way of telling for sure. Hey, Sam, you take good care of yourself today, you hear?
You too, Pete.
With your permission, sir.
Believe I've had the pleasure.
That's Major General John Bell Hood, but we call him Sam. One of my three division commanders. Fellas from Texas, Alabama.
You've been to Texas, as I recall.
Oh, yes. Actually, that's where I came through. Courtesy of the Yankee Navy, who denied me any other point of entry. It's a marvelous place, Texas. Full of red Indians and Mexicans. Cowboys, bandits, desperados. Even hotter and more humid than this place. That's possible. That fellow Hood, does his performance in battle match his appearance? He really does look the part.
He does his job.
Most interesting army, I must say. Virginia gentlemen fighting alongside Texas frontiersmen, bayou bushwhackers from Louisiana. Drawn together from across a continent. Having traveled a good piece of it myself, I feel a part, almost a member of this enterprise. You call yourselves Americans, but you're really just transplanted Englishmen. Look at your names. Lee, Hood, Longstreet, Jackson, Stewart.
My people were Dutch.
And the same for your adversaries. Meade, Hooker, Hancock, and... shall I say, Lincoln? The same God, same language, same culture and history, same songs, stories, legends, myths. Different dreams. Different dreams. So very sad, very sad.
You English had your own civil war once, didn't you?
It was ages ago. Wouldn't dream of it now. Cavaliers and roundheads. Off with his head. Off with his head. Heads lying about everywhere. One could hardly take a step without tripping over a fallen crown. We're much more civilized now, I assure you.
Oh, yeah.
We have so much in common, your country and mine. I earnestly hope that we shall become allies.
Your government... never ally itself with a confederacy that had the institution of slavery. You know that, so do I. We should have freed the slaves, then fired on Fort Sumter. Yeah, I guess we Southerners and you English have at least one thing in common. We'd rather lose the war than admit to the mistake. We whooped you British twice, as I recollect.
Your candor is admirable, if somewhat eccentric.
A little eccentricity is good for a general. We Southerners like our men religious and a little bit mad. I suspect that's why the women fall in love with preachers.
All right. If I may be so bold, what's to prevent the Yankees from attacking us here? I notice you haven't bothered to entrench or build a fortified perimeter.
No, we were alert today. But old George Meade ain't gonna do us any favors. What we must do is we must make him attack us. And in order to do that, we have to occupy dangerous ground between him and Washington. Then the politicians will press him to attack us, which he will most certainly do, given time.
Oh, I see. Very clever, very clever. So Lee doesn't dig in, knowing with certainty that Meade will not attack him here. Meade will expect him to swing around to the south in an attempt to cut him off from the capital, his supplies and reserves. So while Meade ponders his own position, for fear he'll be flanked,
Lee will actually attack him here, where he least suspects it. Lulled as he is by his own false feeling of security, derived by his holding the seemingly superior topographical battlefield position. In short, the higher ground. Brilliant. Sheer military brilliance. General Lee is the ultimate strategist, the master deceiver.
Sir, it is exhilarating to be upon this field.
Well, I will pass on your complimentary sentiments to the general. Good morning, Colonel Fremantle.
If I accompany you?
Not at all. I'm very glad to have you with us, sir. Oh, heat reminds me of Mexico.
Yes, but there was very dry.
That was a good outfit. I remember storming the ramparts of Chapultepec with old George Pickett. Reynolds, my old friend, Ulysses Sam Grant. There were some good men in that army.
Yes, sir, there were indeed.
Some of those men are waiting for us now up ahead on those ridges. I don't know. I sometimes feel troubled. But those fellas, those boys in blue, they never quite seem the enemy.
I know.
I used to command some of those boys. Sworn oath, too. I couldn't fight against Georgia, South Carolina. Not against my own family.
No, sir. There was always a higher duty to Virginia. That was our first duty. There's never any question or doubt about that.
Yes, so.
Let us not think about that now. The issue is in God's hands. We can only do our duty. General, Soldier has one great trap. To be a good soldier, you must love the army. To be a good commander, you must be willing to order the death of the thing you love. We do not fear our own death, you and I. But there comes a time. We are never quite prepared for so many to die. Well, we do expect the occasional empty chair, a salute to fallen comrades. But this war goes on, and the men die, and the price gets ever higher. We are prepared to lose some of us, but we are never prepared to lose all of us. And there is the great trap, General. When you attack, you must hold nothing back. You must commit yourself totally. We are adrift here in a sea of blood, and I want it to end. I want this to be the final battle. You know, I woke up this morning and I half thought he'd be gone, George Meade, that he would not want to fight here. Yes, sir. I woke up and I thought Meade will be gone, and this war will go on and on and on.
Well, sir, we'll make him sorry he stayed.
God go with you, General.
And with you, General.
It's mostly the sound.
I thought the Reds were all in Gettysburg. You don't suppose they're flanking again?
Almost favorite.
Hey! Lars, what's happening?
Sure. Corporal Estabrook reporting back, sir.
Brooke, I thought you were on sick call.
Yes, sir.
Well, how are you now?
It's my stomach. I've been throwing up, sir.
Something you ate. Well, finish up. We're about to move out.
Yes, sir.
Colonel Chamberlain.
Colonel Vincent.
Form your men. I want you to follow me and prepare to double quick. We're going to the top of that hill right there, sir.
Yes, sir. You hear that?
Yes, sir. Get it set up. Rebels are all stacking up in our left flank. We gotta follow them. Make haste.
Yes, sir.
Down the assembly!
Follow me.
Strewn with boulders. The soldiers up there are entrenched all over the ground, and their guns in the rocks. Every move I make is observed. If I attack as ordered, I'll lose half my division, and they'll still be looking down the throats at us from that rocky hill right there. We must move around to the right, sir, and take them from the rear.
Sam, the commanding general will not allow a flanking movement around those hills. I argued it yesterday. I argued it all morning. Hell, I've been arguing against any attack at all. I can't call this one off. You know it.
Let me move up the big round hill to the south. There's nobody on that. Now, if I could get a battery up there, what...
There ain't enough time. You'd have to cut down trees to place your artillery. It'd be dark before you were in action. On the other hand, if they get batteries up there, well, we're gonna need buckets to catch lead. You gotta take that hill.
They don't even need guns to defend that. All they need to do is roll rocks down on you.
Just take it.
General, I do this under protest.
Sam, you are the best I got. Now, sir, if you are ready, why don't you take that hill?
You notice how that Reb artillery always overshoot?
Tom?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Another one a bit closer. It could be a hot day for Mother. I want you to go back to the rear. Watch out for stragglers. Keep your distance from me.
Lars, I...
Damn Reb army is down there and coming up around our flanks. They could be here any minute. We've got to hold this place. We've got to hold it. Well, all right. I place you here. Put your colors here and set your regiment to the left of this line. The rest of the brigade will form on your right. Understood?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Ellis, this is the point.
Yes, sir.
Now, your regiment is to the left of this point. Colonel, sir, you're the end of the line.
Yes.
You are the extreme left of the Union Army. Understood? The line runs all the way from here back to Cemetery Hill. But it ends here.
Understood.
You cannot withdraw under any condition. If you go, this line will be flanked. If you go, the enemy will sweep up over the hillside and take this entire army from the rear. You must defend this place to the last.
Yes, sir.
Now we'll see how professors fight.
Ellis, position the regiment. All company commanders here.
Yes, sir.
Sharpshooters to the left! Battalion! On the right, by file, into line! March!
Bugler, sound the officer's call.
Hold to the last. To the last what? Exercise in rhetoric. Last shell. Last man. Last foot of ground. Last rep.
Take it,
Tom!
gentlemen, the 83rd Pennsylvania, 44th New York, and 16th Michigan will be moving into our right. But if you will look to our left, you will see that there is no one there. Because we're the end of the line. The Union Army stops here. We are the flank. You understand, gentlemen, we cannot retreat. We cannot withdraw. We are going to have to be stubborn today. So, you put the boys in position. You tell them to stay down. You pile the rocks up high. The best protection you can. I want the reserve pulled up about 20 yards. It's sloping ground. It's good ground. If you have any breakthroughs, if you have men wounded, if you have a hole in the line, you plug it with the reserve. How are we fixed for ammunition?
Sir, I think about 60 rounds per man.
That's good. 60 rounds, I think. Yes, that's adequate. Any questions?
Colonel, seems to me fighting's on that side of the hill.
Yep, seems to me that we're the back door. Everything's going on at the front door.
Well, gentlemen, that hill is steep. It's rocky. It's bare. To come straight up, it is impossible. No, the Reb Army is going to swing around. It's going to come up through that notch right over there. It'll move under the cover of trees, try to get round the flank. Gentlemen, we are the flank. Gentlemen. God go with you. Clark, I want you to take the right side from the 83rd over in this direction to the center. Ellis, you take the left, but be watchful. Your flank will be in the air.
Sir.
Colonel, sir.
Corporal Estabrook.
What are we going to do with these prisoners here? The hot heads of the 2nd Maine.
Any of you fellas care to join us?
Reb's really coming.
They're really coming.
Well, it's kind of dull just sitting here watching, sir.
Any man who joins us now, there'll be no court-martial.
No man will call me a coward.
Why not?
I'll waste no man to guard you. I expect you to be here when this is over. Sergeant Owen, let's get these fellows some muskets.
There are no muskets, sir.
You just wait here for a bit. There'll be guns available in a little while.
That's the New York boys. The rebs must be getting closer. Must be moving this way.
Sir, Private Fox is praying.
Will you put in a kind word for me?
Yes, sir.
You boys, you're the Merrill brothers, am I right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Well, boys, why aren't you on the ground?
Well, sir, I can't shoot worth the darn lying down. Never could. Bill, neither. We like to fight standing.
Well, then I suggest you find a thicker tree.
Here they come!
I want you to stay with me, but you keep down. You keep down.
Yes, sir.
Buster! But the whole damn Reb Army's coming this way.
I want you to walk down the line. Tell the boys to get good cover, pile the rocks higher, take their time, and to fire carefully. Just go down and come back.
Right. But, Colonel, you gotta keep an eye on them, Colonel. Some of them, they load and load. They never fire. They just keep right on loading. Some of them come home with 7, 8 bullets rammed up in the barrel. Never fired a shot.
Sorry.